Stand up with your Bible. Verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man and every woman to profit without. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated. Now, after the baptism of the Holy Ghost program, we expect manifestations of the Spirit. That is what is called the gift of the Spirit. So, we want to look at the operation of the gift. The operation of the gift. It's important. The operation of the gift. Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, is setting the church in order. He says, there's something he said here in verse 18. He was speaking about people who come for communion. And please listen very well to what I want to say. It will help you. It will help you. When you come to this ministry, I am given a responsibility for your spiritual progress. And that's all I try to attain. That somebody can stand up and say, since I got in touch with this ministry, my spiritual life became better. Your spiritual life can always be better. And these are some of the things we do through such programs as the baptism of the Holy Ghost and a follow-up. You saw what Pastor Francis tried to bring out and how to maintain that grace, that anointing we receive. I'm picking it again from another angle. And it's very, very important, and this is very, very practical, because it's something, you know, every one of us is involved in. Now, Apostle Paul brought it out this way, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in verse 18, when people come together for communion service, he said, well, first of all, when you come together in the church, he said, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it, Corinthian church. And the Holy Ghost put it there as an example for us. So this is also for Lagos church. The church in Lagos, Ijesha, Bride Assembly. It happens even here among us. And every church, if you look at it, that all the churches that Apostle Paul addressed letters to, you will notice that it is in the Corinthian church that you see a lot of manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit, and he needed to set them in order. But it is also in that same setting where gifts operated that all manner of carnalities were displayed. So the Corinthian church is a perfect church that we can learn something from. That's why God allowed this to be put down for us to see. Because Bride Assembly is like the Corinthian church. Among all the intermessage churches that I know, there is no church that I know of that has the gifts of the Spirit visibly manifesting as we see in this church. And one will expect, therefore, that we shall be very, very spiritual. But among all the intermessage churches also, this is the church with the worst appearances of carnalities. Just like the Corinthian church got so carnal until a man could take his father's wife. And he was a gifted brother. Maybe he was a prophet. I don't know. Maybe he was an evangelist. I don't know. Maybe he was a healer and deliverance. I don't know. Maybe he was in the intercessory department. But he was not a pastor. Hallelujah. They will come together for communion. And after communion service, all manner of sicknesses will be taking place. After communion service, people will be dying. And they didn't know what was happening. Then he decided to let the church understand this. Because we too, every month, we do communion service. What is keeping us in this ministry is just mercy. Grace, extra grace. Because there are some things I, as a pastor, when I hear of what is happening in a ministry like this, I will just say, so this God get patience like this. Because if me I hear, I strike. But this God who sees it, he go do like say you don't see. Amen. And somebody called my attention to the reason. To the reason. First, what do you call it? Second Peter chapter 3. I listened to somebody in the early morning, late night. And he made me to understand this scripture for the first time. Deeper. It says, verse 9. Yes. He says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us ward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, sometimes we apply this to the world. We apply this to unbelievers. That he is waiting for unbelievers, his children that are out there in the world, the sinner there to repent. That is why he is waiting. He is long suffering. But I caught something here. It says that but is long suffering to us. The word there is us. Is for the believer. His patience with you, despite your carnalities. Instead of him to strike, he'll be patient. This long suffering of God is to us what? It is we, the believers. That is why he's delaying. Waiting for some backsliding son, daughter of God, to see the need to repent. How do you really... You know, how do you really place this? That the Bible says, without holiness, no man will see God. And you know the life that you live. And you know the rotten life you live in your privacy. And you live the life as if there are some things that God cannot see. And you live your Christian life to please men rather than please God. Because you live a life to please men, you give a good testimony before men, but in your secret, you give a bad testimony before God who sees it all, including your heart. And that is the mystery of the body of Christ. And it's our responsibility as preachers to point it out. That don't think that because the Lord has not, you know, stricken you, the Lord has not smitten you, it means he's condoning what you are doing. He's only expressing his mercy, exercising his mercy, hoping that one day you will realize that there's no profit in it. But as a church, there are benefits we are supposed to enjoy if we will come to the unity of the faith. If we walk in the same understanding, if we all will grasp what this body of Christ is, and you will only walk acceptably before God and fit into the scheme of things in this program of salvation if God will grant you understanding of the function of the body of Christ. So verse 18, Apostle Paul says, for first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies. I underlined this verse 19 in my Bible years back. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. There must be, God himself allows certain manifestations among us to prove who everybody is. And he tried to make explain what he means. Verse 20, when you come together before, therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. You are coming to eat the Lord's Supper, and this is how you people are coming to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone take it before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunk. What? Have you no houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. People will come to church to show off. People will come to church and they have circle they belong. They set themselves in classes. And he said, if you do this, it is wrong. And you are coming before the Lord's Supper like that, in that estate. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Can you see? But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. You do that not because you don't understand the body of the Lord. He said, for this cause, because you act like that when you come and take communion in that estate, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Sleep here is die. Now you will notice he says sleep. He didn't say many die. He says sleep. Because once you are saved, forever you are saved. He says sleep because you will surely resurrect again. Now you will not go to hell. You will not go to hell because you have the Holy Ghost. But you refuse to be guided by that spirit. And so, God allows that incurable sickness to come upon you. And pray. God will not answer you. Because you want to disgrace him, he cannot allow you to disgrace him. He will call you home. And some people are called home. Like, that's a mystery. It's a mystery. There are sinners that die. Now, I am speaking, knowing that I'm speaking to both wheat and tares in the same church. But I am addressing the wheat. And the difference between the wheat and the tares is that there is something in you that will be waking up that will lead you to repentance. But the tare, no matter what, God came by himself to preach to Cain. Cain refused to repent. Is it a man that will come now and preach to another tear, you will repent? Because there is nothing in them to receive from God. But you that you are with, the Spirit of God is in you to convict you. And if you try to be stubborn, even though you know what you're doing is wrong, and for any reason you try to be stubborn, you will cut short your life and you will live miserably and end up miserably. And you will not know the effect of it until we come before the judgment seat of Christ to receive our reward. You will have no reward. Because you didn't earn it. And that's the purpose of this exhortation. Because I must stress certain things for people to know why the Lord has given you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For this cause, verse 30, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, many die. Why? Because the Bible says, because they do not discern, they are not able to discern, understand the body of Christ. That's why you behave like that among one another. So what is this body of Christ? In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Apostle Paul then brought it up from verse 26. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sorry, from verse 12. From verse 12. This is, listen very well, because I want to give the picture, praying that somebody will catch this picture very well. That's why I'm starting from here. From verse 12, Apostle Paul tried to make every one of us to understand this body of Christ. He says, for as the body is one, Moses, Alu, I come out, I am one body, correct? And has many members. The hand is a member. The leg is a member. The head is a member. The nose is a member. The mouth is a member. The heart is a member. The kidney is a member. All the body parts, they are members of this one body. So he said, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, be many, are one body, so also is Christ. Christ has one body. One body. The body of Christ is one, but made up of members. And the members there are not redeemed. Assemblies of God, choosing, Bride Assembly, Catholic, Presbyterian, that is not the member. Because I had a preacher preaching it like that. That is not the member. There is no redeem in heaven. There is no Bride Assembly in heaven. There is no name of any church in heaven. All of you that say you want to start ministry, I'm going to pray for God to give me the name of the ministry. Who told you the name of the ministry has anything to do with it? Your call is not. I don't believe in it. This church, it is the name is given to express what we believe. We did not go praying anything. Four or four ministers, we sat down when we decided to set the church in order. We were already over 100 members before we said, Bill and Sarah Church, one start. We prayed. The only thing we prayed was for God to show us who will be the pastor. And God chose Brother Moses to be the pastor. That's the only one we prayed. We wanted to be in his perfect will. And then we sat down. Okay, we get pastor. What thing will be the name for the purpose of identification? And we intend this church to be a gathering of the bride of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we call it Bride Assembly. And everybody agree? Yes, let's call it Bride Assembly. And whatever you agree on earth here, that is the binding, is bound in heaven. Since you say the name of your pikin, na blessing, heaven, go call them blessing. It is what you call. Adam said this one, na lion. Heaven say, amen. It became lion in heaven and on earth. Anything we say, heaven packs it up. Don't go and say God gave you name. If God gave you name, what is he giving you the name for? He called you. Hallelujah. And what he gives you is the grace, the anointing to do what he has called you to do. It's not name. Now God give me my name. Now my mama give me my name. And she no could not go pray before. Of course, you can pray and God can give you a name. If God give you a name, he's speaking prophecy to you, and there's a reason for it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 13 is letting you understand that body of Christ. For by one spirit, you see, by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member. The body is not one member. But many, many members of this one body. Many. Then he now said, because that is the problem with the Corinthian church. Verse 15. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? It's not what you say. Whether you say it or not, you remain part of the body. You, leg. If you like, say, I am not of the body. I'm not part of the body. If you are baptized with the Holy Ghost, automatically you are part of the body of Christ. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Then he added, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? Okay now. If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? What of nose? Then he added, but now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. He is the one that set the members in the body. He is the one. As it pleases him. If you catch this, therefore, you will wait until where God will place you. Oh, glory be to God. Because that is my emphasis, and it will help you in your ministry. And if they were all one member, then where were the body? But now, are there many members yet, but one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. And that is exactly what happens in many churches. And that is the problem in the body of Christ. Where you see the pastor operating in his part of the body, and he will not recognize the evangelist. Now, if you don't recognize the evangelist, who will go out to bring people for you to pastor? Only you. One man ministry. Only you pray for the sick. Only you prophesy. Only you do counseling. Only you preach. Only you. You see where the problem is in the body of Christ. Nay, verse 22. Much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble, they seem more feeble, are necessary. They are necessary. Every part of your body is necessary. Sister, to enhance your beauty, God gave you eyebrow. If you say, I don't want it, you shave it, you will not look like a human being again. That's true. Okay. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon this we bestow more abundant honor, and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, But God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. There are parts that are seen. There are some that are not seen, yet they are part of this body you are seeing today. And those that you don't even give importance to. Sister, see the time you give to dress your hair before you go out. See the cream you rub on your skin everywhere. See the powder you rub. There is a one they call foundation. Hallelujah. See the time you give to the part that has seen. But before that, your face will be bright. The heart, the kidney, the liver, the lungs have to be active. If they are not working, that your face, rub anything there, it's not going to work. And yet, nobody is seeing the liver. Nobody is seeing the heart. Nobody is seeing the kidney. And that is why there are very, very important ministries, parts of the body of Jesus Christ, that are not seen. Yet, they are the ones responsible for the revival in the church. I read it again, verse 24 and verse 25. For our comely parts have no need. But God has tampered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. This is the reason that there should be no schism, no fighting, no jealousy, no rancor, no Janin Jaka, no talk of war, no competition. Hand is hand. Hand cannot compete with leg. Hand has your own function. Leg have your own function. Ear cannot compete with eye. You all have different functions. Therefore, why will you be jealous? Ear, why will you be jealous of eye? Because eye, they wear eyeglass. Ear, you them say, why they wear eyeglass? Why? If you don't wear eyeglass, you're not going to see why wear. That is his own. He has problem. That's why he's wearing it. You don't have problem. If you have problem, there will be hearing aid. And let the eye not be jealous. Say you put hearing aid. That there should be no schism in the body. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And in a proper setting, this is what you find. Verse 26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. If they are connected together. What is a headache? Headache. Head is paining you because one part of the body is sick. If you hit, somebody hit you in the leg, you injure in the leg, the eye will respond with a cry, tears. The leg doesn't, the leg brings out blood, but it is the eye that cries for that blood that the leg is losing. Because they are connected. Oh, glory be to God. They are connected. In a proper setting, if we are connected, the devil cannot take advantage of anybody. Before he come on you, while he's on you in the night, a sister in our house, the spirit will wake her up. Some danger somewhere before a brother, before a sister, he will enter spirit and begin to speak in tongue. That's the truth. In a proper setting, when one is honored, all of us rejoice that one of us is honored. Because your honor is our honor. When one is rejoicing, we rejoice with the person. But we still don't understand what the body of Christ is. That's why you don't even know the bond, what binds you to a Christian brother, to a Christian sister. The day you understand that, you will relate in the same way, in the same understanding you have concerning your blood brother, your father's, your blood brother and sister. Same father, same mother with you. Anytime there is any of them is honored, you identify with it. You identify with it. There's one sister here that does something in this church that I love so much. Anytime a sister is a brother in the church here, anybody at all that is celebrating anything, this sister will go and make souvenirs. She will make souvenirs. She's one of our matrons in the church here, in the women fellowship. Make souvenirs, and he say, courtesy of, she will write there, Bride Assembly Church members. She will not put her name. Courtesy of women fellowship. You will never see her name there. She sees us as a family. So she's acting on behalf of the family. She's not trying to show off herself. But what of the rest of us? Even to attend. How many of you attend wedding ceremonies in this church? It's not our group member. It not belong to our group. We are better. You don't understand the body of Christ. I pray that God will cause me to say something that will reorientate our mentality in this church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Years back, our little young sisters here that God was using, gifted sisters, small girls, they will come and they want us to pay their house rent. And I will tell the deacons, and I will tell the associate pastor, I say, I don't believe in that. Where I come from, a single girl that is living alone is looked at as a prostitute. It's a prostitute. It's a prostitution. Where are we that you cannot relate with any member of the church, elderly brothers and sisters, mommy and daddies, that you can stay under to bring you up? The Bible says, when your father and your mother forsake you, who will take you up? Your mother the Lord will take you up. It says that we are forsaking all and follow you. What will be our reward? Our reward includes, it says, if you are rejected by your father, by your mother, all this, you will have them here and hereafter eternal life. If a brother and a sister is suffering in the hands of unbelievers because of their faith, there should be arms of brothers here that will receive that person. It's not Christianity. It is because we don't understand the body of Christ. The day we catch this thing I am saying, then Christianity will start. My understanding of Christianity seems different from so many people. So many. You mean more to me than my blood brother and sister, and I'm saying this from the depth of my heart, from an understanding, and I practice it. I am never related to you by where you come from, but by the spirit that connects me and you. And that is the spirit of Christ. And these are things that will help us. This is the foundation. This is the foundation upon what I want to talk about. Until you catch this, you will never move unto perfection. Until you catch this foundation, to know that when you come to Christ, you are coming in as a member of a body with something to supply for the well-being of the generality of the body. And that thing that you have, that thing that places you, it is the gift that God gives you. When you are baptized into the body, let's finish reading that scripture. Which verse am I? Verse 26 again. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, this is how you put it. Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. See? You are a member, you are a particular member, you are unique, yourself. There is something unique about you in that body. And verse 28, God has set some in the church. See it? He mentioned some of them. First, apostles. Secondly, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings. Helps. Help is a ministry. Government. The ability to organize. That is where the deacons come in. That's where the administrators come in. That's where the elders come in. And the diversities of tongues. I further say, are all apostles? Everybody cannot be an apostle. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracle? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again, where we are reading, if we go to from verse 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations. The administration here is not the gift of administration, no. It is the way the Holy Ghost administered to you. But the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations. But it is the same God which worketh all in all. Then he said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit without. Because you have a work to do in supplying something to the body. For to one is given by the Spirit a word of wisdom. Wisdom there. Let me finish reading them. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. And if I'm going to pick them, take note that these gifts here, that we list 9 of them, with additional 2, help and government, in verse 28, making 11 of them, so we can rightly call them 9 spiritual gifts. Your gift, that gift you have, is the manifestation of the Spirit that you have received. There is a difference between the manifestation of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit is for service. But the fruit of the Spirit is for character. And you will not take one and drop the other. You must have a gift if you are part of the members of the body of Christ. Every one of us has a ministry. Your gift determines your ministry. But for that ministry to be effective, you need character. So the Holy Ghost in you does not only manifest gift, it also builds your character. And that is the difference between mere anointing of the Holy Ghost and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The anointing of the Holy Ghost is God's hand coming upon anybody at any time. When God has a need at that given time, He giveth His gift to all men, Psalm 68, verse 18. Even to the rebellious. He giveth His gift. Therefore, your sonship, make your calling and election sure. What assures you that you are an elect of God, that you are heaven bound, is not the gift you operate. You can only be sure when that gift is matched with character, godly character, otherwise known as the fruit of the Spirit. For a tree is known by her fruits, and by their fruits you will know whether they have the Holy Ghost or they are operating only a gift. It's a mystery, isn't it? Praise the Lord. So you must jam that character together with the gift. If not, your gift, William Branham put it this way. He said, gift without character is satanic. It's satanic. Hallelujah. You say you have the Holy Ghost. You see vision. Mighty miracles, signs and wonders. You prophesy. You are this, you are that. And then you are living the same life that unbelievers live. Then we shall say, you are only anointed. You are not converted. The Holy Ghost comes first and foremost to convert. As many as receive Him, to them gave He power to do what? To become the sons of God. And the power that makes you to be a son of God is the power that converts a sinner to a saint. To a saint. Anytime you say, call Peter, come, and I will make you fishers of men. Fisher of men. Fisherman to fish men. Fish. The fishes are inside the water, but there are different type of fish. I've said it before. There's crayfish. God is not looking for crayfish. The fisherman is not looking for crayfish. There's a different fishing boat that look for crayfish. Who is the crayfish? What is the others that follow crayfish? What do you make and bend? Crayfish is not straightforward. Crayfish is bend. Now fish, but he bend. Cray. Oh, he was a mighty man. Nehemiah was a mighty man. Oh, very mighty. Defeated war. Hey, mighty. But he was a leper. Crayfish. Oh, he's very anointed. Very, very anointed. But be careful when you go near him. The fornicator. And some fish, the electric fish, they're hypocrites. You see them, they dress like, in fact, during fellowship, and then they dance past everybody. If you see the sister dress, cover herself, no earring, hey, even self, she should not wash her hair. Hey, one show you say she be wrong girl Christian. In fact, perfume says she not they put. Powder she not they put. So, brother go say, now this one. She get fine voice. God, I go marry this one. I go marry. Then, you go near him. I told you, some years back, a brother told me, when I knew of their engagement with a sister, it's taking too long, now brother, which day be in a marriage? He said, Pastor, let me tell you the truth. He said, the only genuine thing on that sister is her gift. He said, that's the only genuine thing she has, is her gift. He said, Pastor, my gift, I want marry. You are electric fish. When they come near you, they say, hey. Sister, anybody coming to you, the thing that will keep you together is your character. That is what he's looking for. So also, God is looking for character. Character. And there is a standard to measure that character. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Hallelujah. Adam did not fulfill that. He destroyed it. Therefore, he produced Jesus Christ to be the image of the invisible God. The image that God intended for man in the Garden of Eden is that that was replicated in Christ. Christ is the image of the invisible God. He said the firstborn of every creature. He is the image. So he could say, I am the way, the truth and the life. He told Philip, if you see me, you see the Father. Every Christian must, if you see me, you see Jesus. He's the standard for our measurement. And it is not the anointing, it's the character. He was obedient, even unto the death. If it is possible, let this cup pass away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will, Lord. You cause small trial. You are saying, God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus also shouted, my father, why are thou forsaking me? Yet he submitted himself to his will. One of you, small thing finish, you backslid, you go off. Hey, he has forgotten me. He can't forget you. We have an example in Christ. We have an example in the apostles. We have an example all around us. Why is your own different? Which spirit do you have? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. These are the gifts that we will explain one after the other. One after the other. One by one. A position of leadership in the body of Christ. That is part of the problem of Christianity. Men are looking for followership. Christians are looking for position to fit yourself. And see, next service, I will prove to you that you don't advertise yourself. Hallelujah. I will show you in the scripture. Hallelujah. When you have a gift, hallelujah, every gift is not for microphone. If you have a gift and you are struggling for recognition, it is evidence something is wrong with that gift, or you don't have the gift. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have finished for today. Stand up. Stand up. This is my earnest cry. This is my earnest desire. Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray.
Hallelujah.
Oh, this is my earnest cry. Oh, this is my earnest desire. Give me the power to do your will.
Oh, Lord.
I am sure, I am confident. It happened in the upper room and it burst through the whole world. It happened again in Azusa Street in 1906. William Seymour. Few of them in a room. And that is what has produced this Pentecostal move today. There is going to be a John ministry. It is the prize revival. He said, you will prophesy again. If he said again, it means it was done before. And he called it the latter rain. Something is going to happen. I don't want you to be left out. God is positioning his people. Positioning his people. Positioning his people. And you will see predestination as we go ahead. You will see it. Predestination. And everyone that is an elect of God, open your heart. Anything can happen from now on. Everything in the world is showing the end is here. A quick, short, and powerful work he promised to do, and he will soon do it. But before it happened, hallelujah, God, Christ himself, before the upper room, he kept his disciples in expectation. He told them, go and tarry in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father was Joel chapter 2 and verse 28. And we too now, we are tarrying and we are waiting for the promise of the Father. And the promise of the Father is John ministry, is Revelation chapter 10 and verse 11. He said, we prophesy to people, to talk to nations, to kings. That we know. That is why he is setting things in order. Because it is going to be worldwide. Worldwide. And I am not saying I am John. Bright anointing. The John ministry. In this revival, no one man anything. No one man anything. It is the general body. The general body of Christ. That is why I never preach to you to point you to me. There is something I'm doing to get the individual to get connected to God. When you do that, then you are positioning yourself for that great move. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. I am in great, great expectation. God bless you.